America First has casualties, among them Harley Davidson, and yesterday the Dow. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. President Trump said in a tweet that he's surprised that Harley Davidson is shifting some production to Europe. The motorcycle makers trying to avoid tariffs the EU imposed in retaliation for U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum. The president accused Harley Davidson of waving the white flag and said the company was using his tariffs as an excuse. But Harley Davidson is not the only company to suffer under the president's trade policies. The Dow closed down 1.3% the same day. All that said, for now, the economy broadly is in pretty good shape. The tally of the U.S. gross domestic product, that's the sum of all goods and services produced in the economy, is due out later this week for the second quarter. Economists still expect a short-term boost from tax cuts passed last year. Mitchell Hartman has this look at what we expect to hear from government economists.
The U.S. economy is now firing on all cylinders. Unemployment's at 3.8%. Consumers are spending more, home construction's rising, home prices are too, boosting household wealth. Investment strategist Sam Stovall at CFRA Research sees no sign the long economic expansion is petering out. He says the recent tax cuts are driving business investment higher.
Corporate executives still feel relatively optimistic about the future and don't think that a contraction or recession is right around the corner.
Michael Pierce at Capital Economics predicts second quarter growth will come in at more than 4%. But by next year, he thinks the tax cuts effect will fade.
So it's a big boon to growth this year, but unless you get further tax cuts in future years, you're not going to get that same growth.
And down the road, he says the economy will likely face stronger obstacles to growth from higher interest rates, rising prices, and heightened trade tensions. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's take a look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 1-2% range, with the Dow future down 46 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.88%.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace delivers public service journalism that matters. Now, you can help us do it by becoming a Marketplace investor today. And right now, your donation in any amount could unlock a $25,000 challenge from Candida if we meet our fiscal year goal of 6,000 donors by June 30th. Contribute today at marketplace.org to support the news you trust.
We usually hear about carbon dioxide as the greenhouse gas and how there's too much of it. Well, in Europe, there's not enough industrial supply of CO2, that is. It's beginning to cause problems for all sorts of food and beverage production across Northern Europe. Jonathan Fruin with our partners at the BBC has more on this from London.
Carbon dioxide provides the fizz in our drinks, is a key part of the brewing process, is compressed to provide dry ice to keep online grocery deliveries cool, and is used to stun animals before they're slaughtered. For industrial-scale production, CO2 is largely made as a byproduct of ammonia manufacture, but across northern Europe, many plants have been shut down for maintenance. It's beginning to cause significant challenges for businesses that use the gas. Some breweries have suspended production, and Coca-Cola said it has temporarily paused work on some products, although supplies to customers have not yet been affected. The UK Meat Processors Association says the shortage has the potential to become an animal welfare issue. The gas industry hopes things will return to normal in early July, though it will take some time for customers to rebuild their stocks.
The BBC's Jonathan Fruin. If I say the word anthropologist, you might think of Margaret Mead doing research in Papua New Guinea, or maybe Indiana Jones. The first thing to come to mind might not be Fortune 500 companies. But these companies are actually among the largest employers of anthropologists. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Who's hiring anthropologists? That's what Alex Kranzler wants to know. The third-year UCLA anthropology major is sitting in the front row of class.
This class is called Careers in Anthropology, and I decided to take it because I didn't want to be a statistic, as in the unemployed anthropologists upon graduation.
Today's guest speaker via Skype, Rebecca Park, is proof there's opportunity in the private sector.
There she is. Hi, can you see us?
She's a manager at consulting firm Red Associates. It does social science-style research for companies like Lego, Samsung, Adidas, and Absolute.
All of my data and everything that I think is important in the world comes from observations and everyday people.
Studying everyday people is what Park did to earn her doctorate here at UCLA. She's studied racial disparities in health and human rights issues for think tanks and NGOs. Now her research is used to create toys or sell cancer drugs.
I've tried to tell them we can make money. You can make money as an anthropologist.
Mm-hmm. Anthropologists have actually been working in business for decades, starting with Xerox in the late 70s. Microsoft is now among the largest employers of anthropologists worldwide. Cultural anthropologist Liz Briety was one of the first hired by General Motors in the 80s. Even then, her role was misunderstood.
Oh, you do work for companies and you're an anthropologist? Do you dig up old bones?
Briety was actually studying the effect of workers from different countries on company culture at one of GM's plants. She now runs a corporate consulting firm called Cultural Keys.
Culture is a much more commonly understood term than it ever was before.
HR consultant Katie Jones says people with anthropology degrees are crucial for companies like Facebook and Starbucks in addressing race and gender bias.
Being able to track the progress of that initiative is where those anthropologists with that kind of training can really be a big help.
Most corporate anthropologists aren't working on company culture, but on design and marketing. That doesn't sit well with Dominic Matucci, also a student in UCLA's Careers in Anthropology class.
I wouldn't, at this juncture in my life, work for a major corporation that wanted to use my anthropological skills to figure out how to sell more stuff.
The National Science Foundation found that 14% of anthropologists have private sector jobs. In Los Angeles, I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Yesterday, we told you about the first cannabis-based medicine potentially headed for the U.S., a treatment for childhood epilepsy developed by a British firm. Well, just an update, that drug has been approved by the FDA. Our producers are Michael Lipkin, Katie Long, Daniel Shin, and Sasha Woodruff. And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.